for 3 years now. I first started coming to church in 2009. You know, I was saved 3 years ago. I was saved simply because of three faithful servants of God. You know, my wife Gina was witness to me on the job. You know, when I met her for, and I worked with her for about 2 years, trained her in.
Still training her, right?
It was because of Gina's faithful witnessing to me, you know, that I started to get a hunger for the Word of God, you know, and started to get curious, you know, about the God that could be. And, you know, I knew that someone existed up there. I knew there was a higher power. I just didn't know exactly who he was,
yeah,
or where I could find him, or even if he wanted to find me, you know. And I was just grateful for Gina's consistency of telling me, you know. And another faithful servant of God in my life was my disciple and mentor, Dan Everly. You know, he himself and Caddy invited me over to their house to have dinner to convert me. And they did. You know, that night at 6:30, 29th of April 2009, I was saved by a faithful servant of God, you know. And my brother-in-law, John Manny, you know, in the weeks building up to when I was saved, you know, I was spending some time with John. And again, he was consistent in just telling me what God did for his life. And I could relate to John, you know, because he was a big fan of music, which is what I was, you know. And it's just, it's faithful servants who do the work of God.
Yeah.
You know, the work of God is accomplished by faithful servants. And, you know, this church being here 17 years, you know, as great as it is, you know, we wouldn't be able to celebrate the 17th year if it wasn't for a faithful servant the first year, on the first day, you know. Someone had to get it going. Someone had to do the work which was given by God, you know. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is being a faithful servant. And, you know, if any of you had plans to go home before 9 o'clock, you know, hit the burst your bubble. But that's not going to happen. If you open your Bibles, please, and turn it to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. The Word of God says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged it in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest me unto 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then which he had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent unto him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, the parable of the talents here is, you know, talking about what I'd like to call the reward of a faithful servant. You know, servants were provided with talents, which is money at that time. One servant receives 5 talents and increased the investment by another 5. The second servant receives 2 talents and increased it again by another 2. The third servant received 1 talent and buried his talent. He didn't use it. He didn't use what he was given from God. The Lord came back and judged the servants. The servants were held accountable for what they did with what their Lord had provided them with. 2 servants were rewarded for their faithfulness, and 1 servant was deemed wicked, lazy, and unprofitable. 2 servants are going to end up in heaven alongside our Lord. 1 servant is going to end up eternally separated from their Lord in the darkness of hell. And what I want to look at tonight is, you know, the question, which type of servant are you? You know, what kind of servants are us? You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will we be rewarded? What will you have done with all that God has given you? Will you hear praise coming from the Master's mouth? Will you be found to be a faithful servant? Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you now that we can gather here in this room just to study more of your word, Lord. We thank you for this church and bringing us 17 glorious years, Lord, and we're thankful that all the glory goes to you, Lord. And we just thank you that we can make a difference, Lord, in this world. Help us, Father, to make a difference tonight in our lives, Lord, as we study your word. Use me, Father, Lord, as you used your servant Moses, Lord, just to speak your word in truth and in sincerity, Lord. Help us to have soft hearts and open our minds tonight, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you turn to Genesis 22, which is where we'll spend most of tonight. Genesis chapter 22. And it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the Lord will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called into him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Tonight, I just want to look at the story of Abraham and Isaac, and I want to look at some signs of what a faithful servant is. How can you find out within yourself and question yourself, are you being a faithful servant? And the first sign that I want to talk about is a faithful servant is tested. We see in verse 1 and 2 in Genesis chapter 22 that tests and trials are needed to prove one's faithfulness. You know, if you were to step out on a bridge, you know, if you picture a plank over a little small ravine, you know, before you step onto that plank, you want to test that it works, right? You know, that's what it's there for, to test how faithful that bridge is. And God placed this test before Abraham so that he could see how real Abraham's faith really was. Where was his faith? Was his faith in God, or was he just trusting on what he could see and what people could tell him and what he could hear? God never wanted Isaac to die, but he did want to come first in Abraham's heart and life. God's tests and trials in your life are to prove you, not to break you.
Amen.
When God puts a trial in your life, he is either trying to get you to focus on him more, or he is trying to refine you, to make you better. In 1 Peter 1:6-8, we see how gold is tried, you know. Gold is tried to make it better, to purify it, to refine it. Likewise, we're spiritually refined by God's trials. His trials refine us and makes us better. You know, we should be thankful for every single trial in our life that God puts before us, because they're more precious than gold, the Bible says. You know, over the last 2 or 3 years, there's been different points where I've been tested with different trials. You know, your faithfulness is always tested when you least expect it. You know, when you think you're going strong and you think that you're doing as much as you can possibly do and that you're serving God, God will put something in your life and show you where your heart really is. And then you'll sit down and really look at it and go, wow, you know, what I thought I was doing for God really wasn't that much. There's so much more other people are doing. You know, so a faithful servant is tested. And the next sign I want to talk about is a faithful servant obeys. In verse 3, you know, and this is one of the key points of this passage, and it's so important to being a faithful servant, is that Abraham was a doer. You know, our memory verse for this year, our theme, James 1:22, is, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Abraham didn't question God's commands. Abraham served God by doing what he was told. God told Abraham, take thy son, go up into a mountain, and offer him there for me. Nowhere in this passage do you see Abraham questioning God. Nowhere do you see him questioning, you know, why are you asking me of this, God? Why are you doing this to me? Why do I have to give you my only son? He just did it. He just did what he was told to do. You know, Christ's true servants are doers. You know, Matthew 7:21. If you turn there, please. And you can bookmark Genesis 22 if you want, because we'll be going back there. Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This is Jesus talking. He said, quite plain and clear, that not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, not everyone that says, I know you, Jesus, I believe in you, will get into heaven. You know, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, Christ's servants are doers. And you know, if you think you're serving God and you're not doing anything, you're not really serving him. You have to get out there and start doing something. You have to do what God has commanded you to. You know, promising to do something and doing something are two different things. You know, telling God that I'm going to serve you tomorrow, God, I'm going to get up early and read my Bible, is very different from you getting up and reading your Bible. They're two different things. You know, Abraham obeyed God. Servants are not really serving if they do not obey. Soldiers in an army have to obey in order to serve. In Matthew 8:9, we see the centurion saying that I too am a man in authority. And I tell my servants, go, and they go, do and they do. See, soldiers have to serve. They have to obey. When you do not obey God, you are not serving him. Not doing something which you are commanded to do is the same as doing something that you are commanded not to do. They're the same. You know, you might be sitting there and saying, well, I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't go to clubs anymore and I don't hang around with ungodly friends. But God also says, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to be in my word every day. I want you to go up and soul win. I want you to go knock on some doors to testify me, to come to church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. If you're not doing what God has told you to do, It doesn't matter that if you're not doing what God has told you not to do. You know, they're the same. There's a link there. And you know, Abraham obeyed God, but Isaac also obeyed. He obeyed his father Abraham. You know, Abraham, can you picture, you know, Abraham coming to Isaac saying, come with me. We're going up in the mountain to worship and we're going to have a burnt offering. And then you're it. You know, we're going to set up a nice little altar and put on fire and I'm going to put you on it. You know, can you picture that? But Isaac went anyway. You know, he didn't know what was going to happen. He just trusted his dad and he went. And Isaac also obeyed God's structure for the home. You know, he obeyed his father because God has placed our parents to be in charge over us. You know, in Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, you might not always know what your parents are talking about, or you might not always know what your parents want you to do something, or for what reason, but we should always obey them nonetheless. You just do it because they ask you to do it. You don't need to understand why. You don't need to question. You just do it. You know, obedience requires total submission. In Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter 2:13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. In all places in your life, you're submitting. If you're not submitting, you're not obeying. And if you're not obeying, you can't serve. Whether it's your employer or whether it's God, you can't serve them. If you do not bring yourself under the authority of God and submit yourself to him, you will never obey him. And you will never serve him. And the next sign I want to talk about is a faithful servant prepares. If you turn back to Genesis 22, please. In Genesis 22, verse 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And down in verse 5 it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And in verse 6 it says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You see, a faithful servant prepares. Abraham gets ready to serve in verse 3. You know, he got out of bed early. He rose up. You can't serve God if you're staying in bed. You know, he saddled his donkey because he knew he'll have to travel. You know, if you know that you need to be somewhere, like soul winning on a Saturday afternoon, you know, how you're going to get there if you don't prepare? You need to get stuff in order. You know, make sure your petrol's in the car. Make sure the keys are easily accessible. You know, you have to go. And he grabs the wood for the burnt offering. You see, he prepared. You will never be ready to serve unless you prepare. You will never make it to church if you don't plan to be there. You know, how many times have you found yourself not making something, but you never really looked at why you didn't make it there in the first place? Because you weren't ready to and you weren't planning to go there in the first place. You will never go soul winning with the church on Saturdays if you don't make time to do so. You know, how often is it that something's really, really stopping you ahead of time of going soul winning? Not often. Most often, the only person that's stopping you is yourself because you haven't planned to go there in the first place. You know, you need to plan. You need to provision for God's work. You need to plan to serve him. You need to prepare to serve him. You will never share the gospel with someone unless you learn the gospel. How are you supposed to tell someone how to get saved if you don't know how to get saved? It doesn't matter that you were saved. Someone gave you the gospel. But you need to give that same gospel to someone. You need to learn the gospel. You need to be prepared. You will never know your Bible unless you study your Bible. You know, it's not good enough just to read the Bible as a normal book where you're going from start to finish and just skimming over all the words. You know, you need to study the Word of God. Study is a big difference from reading. You know, it requires thinking. It requires meditation. And it requires time. You know, you need to prepare yourself and set aside some time to get into the Word of God. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're getting in for an hour or 5 hours or 10 minutes. Just put it aside and get in there. If all you get in there is for 10 minutes, then that 10 minutes is more than you would have had if you didn't plan and prepare for that 10 minutes. You need to put aside time, and especially, you know, when you know that the older you get, the busier you're going to get. You know, when you're a kid, you got lots of time. You know, when you're a teenager, summer's coming up. That's lots of time.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the job, not so easy. When you're a parent, less easier again. You know, you need to set aside time. Doesn't matter whether it's in the morning, in the evening, or in the afternoon. Whatever suits yourself, but you need to set aside time. You need to prepare to study God's word. You know, you'll never be able to serve God unless you're prepared and willing to serve him. Another sign of a faithful servant is that a faithful servant trusts. In verse 7 and 8, we see that Isaac quizzed Abraham about the offering. He asked his father, "I see the wood, father, and I see we're setting up an altar, and I see there's a fire, but, you know, where's the offering for the burnt offering?" You know, Isaac knew that something had to be burnt. You know, and he quizzed Abraham about the offering. And Abraham replied to him and told him, "God would provide a lamb." And then, you know, it was only when I was reading this a few times, and I've taught this to Sunday school kids last year on a different message about waiting and trusting in God, but it just struck out, you know, it just struck out at me recently that, you know, it's okay to question God. You know, you can ask God for clarification. You know, if you think that God is telling you to go somewhere, but you're not really sure where, or you think he might want you to do something, but you don't know what, then ask him.
Amen.
You know, it's okay to question God, but you need to trust that he will answer. You need to trust that he will answer. Because a faithful servant trusts, you see. You know, salvation starts with trusting in God. Turn to Psalms 18:2, please. In Psalm 18:2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, and in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." You see, when you got saved, you know, someone gave you the gospel, but that wasn't enough to get you saved. You had to do one more thing. You had to trust that the gospel was true. You had to trust that Jesus really is the payment for your sins, that he died on the cross for you. If you didn't trust Jesus, then you're not saved. You know, someone can tell you the gospel all day long, but until you make that choice and trust in him, you're not saved. And salvation starts with trusting in God, but service to God is a fruit of that trust. If you turn to Matthew 7 again, please. Matthew 7, verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." See, when you're saved, you know, you become a new tree, a new creature. You know, and if you have an apple tree, and you want to prove that it's an apple tree, you expect to see apples.
Yeah.
You know, that apple tree will produce apples. It'll produce fruit. It won't produce pears or bananas. It's going to produce apples.
Right.
And when you're saved, you're going to provide, you're going to produce fruit. That trust that you put in God that saved you is the same thing that's going to enable you to produce fruit. You see, fruit comes from the trust. So a faithful servant trusts, and a faithful servant who trusts in God will produce good fruit. The next sign of a faithful servant is that a faithful servant waits. In Genesis 22, verse 9 to 10, we see that Abraham waited for God. You see, Abraham had bound Isaac on the altar and was ready to kill him. Abraham had the fire going and the altar sacrifice was made. Abraham had the knife in his hand and was ready to kill Isaac. You know, Abraham had it right over Isaac and ready to slay him. Okay? And even sometimes, you know, you might think that God wants to, that God wants to serve. You might even know for sure that God wants to serve, but you don't. You still might know, but you need to wait. God will answer in His time. You might be ready to serve Him right now. You know, He might have told you, I want you to go somewhere, I want you to do something, but you mightn't be ready to go just yet. You see, you're still being refined. You know, and if you... The soldiers have to wait for the war to end before they can go home. You know, if you want to serve God faithfully, there will be times that you need to wait on Him to direct you. Psalms 25:5 says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalms 37:34 says, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. You see, sometimes you need to wait for you to be fully matured, fully ripened, to do what God has planned for you to do. You know, in Jeremiah we see that God says, you know, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I had a plan for you. You know, during youth camp this summer, we're going to be learning about Samson. And before Samson was born, God had a plan for him too. You know, it wasn't until years later that Samson fulfilled that plan, fulfilled his purpose. You know, you have to wait. You have to wait on God for His time. And when He's ready, when He knows that you're ready, then you'll be able to serve Him faithfully. And lastly, I just want to talk about the last sign, which is a faithful servant is blessed. In Genesis 22:11-18, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not held with thy, not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You see, Abraham was blessed. Abraham was willing to perform all that which God had required of him. Before Abraham could proceed with slaying Isaac, God intervened and stopped him. God was true to His word and provided a lamb for the burnt offering, just as Abraham believed and trusted that He would. God rewarded and blessed Abraham, because when his Lord came, Abraham was found to be faithful. You know, blessings come after the faithful service, not before. Employees are rewarded wages after they have completed the job, not before it. God blesses Christians after we tithe, not before. God blesses the soul winner after the gospel has been spread, not before. If you turn to Matthew 24, please. Verse 42. Verse 42, it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my lord, late is coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, will you be a faithful servant? You know, Jesus is coming back, and we don't know when. You know, besides whatever predictions people make, even if they're Christians, you know, if they're a Christian who read their Bible, they'd know that we don't know when he's coming back. You know, the Bible says so. You know, if God wanted us to know, he would have said it. There would have been a date and a time right here. You know, he doesn't want us to know. We don't need to know. He'll come when he comes, and, you know, that probably adds to the excitement of the Christian life. We don't know when he's coming. He could come at any time. You know, keeps us on our toes. You know, will you be blessed? Will you be a blessed servant who is found doing when Jesus comes? You know, the blessed servant who is found doing when his Lord comes. You know, do you think that you'll be the blessed servant if when God comes back, when Jesus comes back, and you're sitting down reading a gospel tract instead of walking around handing it out? You know, if you're sitting down with your Bible and just skimming over the pages and not really making notes of how that could apply to you or apply to someone else, you know, how can you be a blessed servant if you're not being a doer of the word? You know, if you're coming to this church and you're hearing consistent preaching morning and evening every Sunday, and you're studying the word of God on a Wednesday night in Bible study, and you're going out soul winning, you'll be a blessed servant because you've been faithful. Will you be the unprofitable servant who is cast aside by Jesus when he comes? You know, this passage of scripture is talking to the servants which God's chosen, his servants. You know, Christians, people who have received the gospel, not the lost people out in this world that are still looking to become servants of God, that are looking to be plucked out of the miry clay. We've been plucked out of the miry clay, and we've been given a job to. We've been tasked with serving God. And it is a task that can be thankful and rewarding if we do it properly, if we serve him properly. Which type of servant are you? When our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will you be rewarded? I'm not talking about the rewards that we're going to get in heaven, the crowns that we get if we serve them faithfully. I'm talking about Jesus coming and saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, right down here, you know. What will you have done with all that God has given you? God has given us gifts, talents, so to speak. God's word is amazing, the way he structured his word to be applicable through all generations, through all time. Money was a talent back then. Talent was a form of currency. But talents exist today too, as a talent. Something you've been given. Something you can use to serve God. Some people have been given the talent of teaching. You're prepared. You've been given the ability by God to teach God's word. Maybe to some Sunday school kids. Maybe to your family. Maybe to your friends at work. Maybe to some random stranger you meet in a cafe when you're drinking your coffee. You know, if you're studying the Bible and you've been given that gift to be able to teach and you don't use it, you'll be the same as the servant who buried his talent in the ground. Will you hear praise coming from the master's mouth? I think the most important thing for any servant to hear is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. More than anything else, when I'm working in my job, I'm thankful for all that God has given me, and I'm thankful for the fact that I can work and be paid and be financially secure. But there's nothing that pleases me more than hearing my boss say, well done, Graham. You know, you did a good job. You know, you did good because you were faithful. You know, because you did what I asked you to do, and you did it to the best of your ability. You know, that's true praise. You know, that's the true reward, you know, of being a faithful servant. Will you be found to be a faithful servant? You know, we were learning for the last 2 weeks that there's plenty of servants of God. There's been plenty of imperfect people serving a perfect God. You know, God was able to use them, not because they were perfect, not because they were naturally good at something, but because they were willing. And they were faithful to that God, to the God, to our God. will you be found to be a faithful servant? Let's pray.